from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hey listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by news from across Indonesia. Today in History, My Indonesia, News in Brief. We continue Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, and to conclude our program for today, we present you Music Corner. That was our program summary for today over at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
At RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. The arrival of President Joko Widodo in Sydney was greeted by hundreds of Indonesian citizens. Indonesia and Australia are ready to help Myanmar resolve Rohingya issues. Now the news in detail. The arrival of President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo in Sydney, Australia was greeted by hundreds of Indonesian citizens. The President and Tari arrived around 6:30 p.m. at the Four Seasons Hotel in Sydney and immediately met the enthusiastic crowd awaiting the President since about 3:30 p.m. President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana then took a walk around the Indonesian line while shaking hands and doing selfie. The welcoming community consists of children, students and permanent residents who have lived for more than 30 years in Australia. President Joko Widodo in Sydney attended ASEAN-Australian Special Summit 2018 on 16 until 18 March, which addresses two priority areas of economy and defense. He also attended a dinner with Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull on late Friday. The current situation of Rohingya and Rakhine Myanmar becomes a key focus at a meeting between Indonesian and Australian foreign ministers. The meeting that took place on Friday morning in Sydney, Australia, in general discussed about the situation of Indo-Pacific region, cooperation between the two countries and international issues. As quoted from Republika, Indonesian Foreign First Minister Retno Marsudi said in Sydney, Australia on Friday that the two governments are talking about steps to help Myanmar and Bangladesh, especially for humanitarian problems. Minister Retno affirmed that both Indonesia and Australia have provided assistance to the Rohingya refugees. According to the UN Refugee Agency, currently there are more than 400,000 Rohingya refugees living temporarily at the sand points on the border between Myanmar and Bangladesh. She also asserted that the agreement between the two countries to solve not only the humanitarian problems of refugees but also Myanmar's internal policy to Rohingya. Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia Rusdi Kirana inaugurated 17th New Community Learning Center CLCs in Miri, Sarawak, Malaysia on Friday. This learning center are provided for children of Indonesian migrant workers, especially those who work in plantation sector in various areas of Sarawak. At a press conference at one of the CLCs at the Sichi Oil Palm Plantation, Yuan Group in Miri, Ambassador Rusdi Kirana said that in addition to the new CLCs in Sarawak, the government of Indonesia also plans to build vocational schools as a continuation of basic education at CLCs.
Kalau di Sarawak itu targetnya 50 dan sekarang sudah ada 12.
Even in Sarawak, the target is 50 and now there are 12. The target on this trip is to build 17, so the first 19th must already be in operation. Today we have inaugurated 17 to become 36. We have a target next June 50 in Sarawak. In Sabah, we will build a vocational school from elementary and junior high school levels. We will direct the school children to vocational schools. As already mentioned before about culinary, hospitality and mechanics. Hopefully at the end of this Idul Fitri, we will do groundbreaking to build. The fund is ready to use. Ambassador Rusdi Kirana added that the target to develop 50 CLCs in Sarawak in 2018 is a firm commitment of Indonesian government to keep providing adequate educational access for the children of Indonesian migrant workers residing in plantation in Sarawak. He also believes that if the children have enough education, undoubtedly their life in the future will be better. To realize this, Ambassador Rusdi Kirana asks for parents to actively play a major role to encourage the children to study in the community learning center CLC provided in the plantation environment. To celebrate Nyepi or the Day of Silence or New Year's Day Saka 2040 celebrated by Hindus, Indonesia Minister of Religious Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia holds several social activities in various regions in Indonesia. The social activities are forms of government support to Hindus in celebrating Nyepi Day, which fell on March 17, 2018. This was conveyed by Director General of Hindu Community Guidance of the Minister of Religious Affairs, Ikutut Witnya, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta recently.
Ya, pemerintah memberi dukungan dana kepada panitia.
The government certainly provides funding support to the community, but in addition to the funds, we also have some or at least four Nyepi activities. The most important is social activities. Yes, tree planting is done in Bogor. Then the big celebration is held at the Prambanan Temple, then mass yoga, and then seminar on nationality. After the seminar on nationality, there is Dharma Shanti, Ikutut Witnya said. Ikutut Witnya stated Nyepi Day or New Year Saka 2040 this year is a special celebration because Nyepi Day or Day of Silence is celebrated together with Hari Raya Saraswati. The two major Hindu festivals celebrated on the same day are a historic phenomenon for Hindus in Indonesia. The Department of Tourism and Culture of Jakarta in cooperation with Australian Embassy organized an exhibition with the theme Faith Fashion Fusion, the style of Muslim women in Australia. This exhibition celebrates the achievements of Australian Muslim women through fashion. It highlights the diversity and creativity of Muslim community in Australia and how to express their beliefs through fashion. This was conveyed by First Secretary of the Australian Embassy to Indonesia, Lydia Trotten, during the exhibition at the Historical Museum of Jakarta on Thursday.
First exhibited in Australia in 2012, and it's toured all around Australia to different cities and towns. And then at the end of last year, it toured to Kuala Lumpur, and it's now here in Jakarta until the 18th of March. So the exhibition is really about celebrating the achievements of Muslim women in Australia, and it does that by looking at how they express themselves and their faith through fashion.
Lydia added that Jakarta, as the capital of Indonesia, was chosen as the venue for the exhibition of Faith Fashion Fusion because Muslim fashion is now developing in Indonesia, so the designers from Australia and Indonesia can share their experiences, how they develop the fashion industry in their respective countries. The Association of Indonesian Farmers, HKTI, will hold Asian Agriculture and Food Forum, ASAP 2018, at the Jakarta Convention Center from 27 June to 1 July 2018. General Chairman of the HKTI, Muldoko, said in Jakarta on Friday that the forum, to be attended by representatives from a number of Asian countries, is aimed to strengthen Indonesian food resilience. He views that Asian Agriculture and Food Forum is also beneficial from the socio-cultural aspect and tourism, as there also be food fairs from various regions. Muldoko also hopes the event will show the world that the issue of food resilience is very important, not only in terms of availability but also its source. Indonesia has the potential to become the growth center of the petrochemical industry, which is more competitive at the level of Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, with the increasing investment and expansion of a number of producers across Indonesia. One of them will be realized by a large time manufacturer, Xiansman Group CSG, which plans to build a naphtha cracker production facility worth $5.5 billion, or equivalent to 75 trillion rupiah in Cilegon, Banten. This was affirmed by Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto in a statement in Jakarta on Friday. He said that the plan indicates that Indonesia is still an investment destination country as government efforts continue to create a conducive business climate. This investment value is one of the largest in Indonesia and Fortian Cement Group for Thailand. Minister Airlangga disclosed this after meeting with SCG delegation led by SCG President and CEO Ron Grote, Ron Siopas, in Jakarta on Friday. Minister Airlangga also added that SCG project progress is at the factory design stage, which will be take 8 until 9 months and is targeted to operate in 2021 or 2022. The International Standard Organization ISO primarily establishes community-based avian warning early system from Indonesia developed by Gajah Mada University along with the National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB to become an international standard. Head of the BNPB, William Rampanglangi, through a press release in Jakarta on Friday stated that the landslide early warning system is Indonesian contribution in sharing knowledge and experience to the world to save society from the threat of landslide. The Secretariat of ISO TC 292 in relation to security and resilience at the Australian Standardization Office in Sydney, Australia on Friday determined that the early warning system from Indonesia can be published at the ISO 22327. Based on the determination, the system can be guidance for implementing a community-based early warning system of landslide while strengthening Indonesia as a laboratory disaster of the world. William added that communities are very important as a core part of the system because they are the ones who will get threats. They must be part of the system and must understand how the system works. The last item, the governments of Indonesia and Australia signed a Maritime Action Plan agreement on Friday in Sydney, Australia. The signing was witnessed by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and her counterpart, Minister Yulia Bishop. As quoted from Republika, the Maritime Sector Action Plan includes three important issues which, according to the two countries, should be immediately undertaken. The three issues are fighting fish traps, smuggling of narcotics and drugs, and trafficking. Minister Retno Marsudi and Minister Yulia Bishop hoped that the signing will strengthen relations between the two countries. Minister Yulia Bishop added that there are 85 activities in the action plan to be carried out. A total of 17 Australian agencies will be involved in the implementation of the action plan. She emphasized that the Maritime Action Plan is an important step to create the Indo-Pacific region into a region that is peaceful, stable, and prosperous. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
News from across the country. Unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to our weekly news from across the country. The segment which presents interesting information from various regions in a week. The first story comes from Denpasar, Bali. Barong Carnival, Rangda, and other ritual equipments, which are purified in Pengkraman Village, Denpasar City, and surrounding, enchanted the implementation of Melasti ritual at Padanggalak Beach, Sanur, on Wednesday, March 14. Very sacred objects are brought to the beach by food accompanied by traditional music instrument of Bali, namely pounded gong Blangganjur, in a series of Nyepi holiday commemoration 1940 Saka New Year. Thousands of communities by wearing a combination of yellow and white color Balinese traditional clothes participate in the ritual event, which has its own characteristic among foreign tourists who are enjoying their holiday in Bali. Chairman of Pakraman Tambao said
to purify the elements of Buana Agung or the universe and Buana Alit or their own element. In addition to the beach, Melasti activities are also carried out on the lake for people living in the mountains or in the nearest spring for indigenous villages who live far away from beaches and lakes. The next information comes from Yogyakarta. Deputy Mayor of Yogyakarta Heru Purwadi planned to increase the operational hours of traditional markets until the evening, especially markets that sell a lot of souvenirs for tourists. According to him, a suitable traditional market to support the development of nightlife attractions is a market that provides souvenirs from tourists such as Bringharjo Market and Ngasa Market. Heru added another tourist attractions that also has the potential to support the development of nightlife attractions in Yogyakarta is the Smart Park or Taman Pintar, which has been closed at 5 p.m. The addition of operational hours of Bringharjo Market and Taman Pintar or Smart Park, according to Heru, also can support the development of Malioboro area, which will be used as pedestrian path. The last story of today's segment comes from Padang, West Sumatra. The government of Padang, the capital city of West Sumatra, will provide free passes for tourists in an effort to strengthen the promotion of the city's tourism sector. Head of the Regional Tourism and Culture of Padang, Medi Iswandi, on Monday, March 12, said that the pass only operates on Saturday, Sunday, and public holidays. The vehicle is free by all citizens and tourists. The launching of the pass will take place at the end of March 2018. Medi Iswandi also said, during the trip, the tour bus, passengers can see the beach, temple, Grand Mosque, old city buildings, Batangarau, Gunung Padang, Muaro Small Port, and Vending Road in Bukit Gado-Gado, covered in the integrated tourism area of Gunung Padang. Listener, that was the news from across the country.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Well listener, we start for an event on March 17, 1969 when Golda Meir became the first woman who was officiated as Prime Minister of Israel. On March 17, 1969 until June 3, 1974, Golda Meir became the first woman who was officiated as the Prime Minister of Israel. Previously, she had been appointed as a Minister of Labor and Foreign Affairs. Golda Meir had the nickname as an Arab woman in politics of Israel. The next event was in 1963 when Mountain Agung in Bali erupted. Mountain Agung is the highest mountain on Bali Island with 3,142 meters high. The mountain is located at Rendang District, Karangasem Regency, Bali. Due to the eruption of Mount Agung, around 2,000 of Balinese people were killed. The mountain is volcano with a stratovolcano type and has very deep and big crater, which sometimes removes smoke and moisture. And the last event is that in 1984, the first in vitro fertilization in the Southeast Asia was implanted in Sukabumi, West Java. In vitro fertilization is a process of fertilization where an egg is combined with sperm outside the body. In vitro means in glass. The process involves monitoring and stimulating a woman's ovulatory process, removing an ovum or ova, which means egg, from the woman's ovaries and letting sperm fertilize them in a liquid in the laboratory. Then the fertilized egg or zygote undergoes embryo culture from 2 until 6 days and is then transferred to the same or another woman's uterus with the intention of establishing a successful pregnancy. In vitro fertilization process in Southeast Asia was invented in Sukabumi, West Java. The technology was discovered by P.C. Steptoe and R.G. Edwards. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia, a daily segment which today is on Supporting Industry 4.0 Government Optimizes Innovation Development Center. Indonesia has great potential in the development of the fourth industrial revolution or Industry 4.0, which aims to improve the efficiency and quality of national manufacturing products to be more competitive. In order to realize these targets, innovation centers are needed to support the improvement of human resource competence and the growth of new entrepreneurs who are ready to implement the latest digital technology. Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto stated it when he was a guest speaker at the Learning Innovation Summit 2018 event in Jakarta on Wednesday. Erlangga Hartarto said the government has prepared various supporting infrastructure. In terms of the development of this digital-based industry, the Ministry of Industry has facilitated through the construction of incubation buildings for startup businesses, among others, in Bandung Technopark, Bali Creative Industry Center or Tohpati Center, Incubator Business Center in Semarang, Makassar Technopark, and Mobile Phone Design Center in Batam. These areas are the basis of innovation and creativity for industry players in the digital field who want to develop software, web application, movies and animation, as well as other digital programs. Minister Erlangga Hartarto believes that the development of startups in Indonesia will grow significantly along with the demographic bonus because the business is in great demand by millennial generation. For that, young Indonesians are expected to master English, statistics, and coding. According to Minister Erlangga, this can be learned in 6 months, and Indonesia is ready to be a solution in digital economy. Minister Erlangga Hartarto explained with an applicative research center such as Technopark owned by the Ministry of Industry, the government projected that Indonesia will become the largest digital economy in Southeast Asia by 2020, targeting 1,000 technopreneurs, business valuation of $100 billion, and total value electronic commerce of $130 billion. The Minister of Industry also said that this site is preparing a roadmap for Indonesia's strategy of applying Industry 4.0 technology. The technology includes artificial intelligence, Internet of Things, big data, robotics, and 3D printing. The Minister of Industry said that there are 5 lighthouse industries that the government is preparing, namely food and beverage industry, textiles and garments, automotive, electronics and chemicals. According to the minister, Indonesia has become a potential country for the growth and development of electronic trade because it has become the largest market in ASEAN. This potential is supported by a population of more than 250 million people. Internet penetration has reached as many as 90.5 million people, and among them, about 26.3 million people have been shopping online.
In addition, at present in ASEAN, there are about 7 unicorns or startup companies that have valuation about $1 billion. 4 of them from Indonesia, namely Bukalapak, Traveloka, Tokopedia, and Gojek. The Minister of Industry added that Indonesia's economic strength is seen as one of the key players in boosting global economic growth. Indonesia is able to contribute 2.5% toward growth, outperforming South Korea, Australia, Canada, England, Japan, Brazil, and Russia. Well, that was my Indonesia Today on Supporting Industry 4.0, Government Optimizes Innovation Development Center. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. The arrival of President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo in Sydney, Australia was greeted by hundreds of Indonesian citizens. The current situation of Rohingya and Rakhine, Myanmar becomes a key focus at the meeting between Indonesia and Australian Foreign Minister. The meeting that took place on Friday morning in Sydney, Australia, in general discussed about the situation of Indo-Pacific region, cooperation between the two countries, and international issues. Indonesia Ambassador to Malaysia, Rusdi Kirana, inaugurated 17th New Community Learning Center, CLCs, in Miri, Sarawak, Malaysia, on Friday. These learning centers are provided for children of Indonesian migrant workers, especially those who work in plantation sector in various areas of Sarawak. To celebrate Nyepi, or Day of Silence, or New Year's Day Saka 2040, celebrated by Hindus, Indonesia Minister of Religious Affairs of Republic of Indonesia hold separate social activities in various regions in Indonesia. The Department of Tourism and Culture of Jakarta, in cooperation with the Australian Embassy, organized an exhibition with the tint Faith Fashion Fusion, the style of Muslim women in Australia. This exhibition celebrates the achievements of Australian Muslim women through fashion. The International Standard Organization, ISO, formally established a community-based warning early system from Indonesia developed by Gajah Mada University along with the National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB to become an international standard. Head of the BNPB, William Rampalengi, through a press release in Jakarta on Friday stated that the landslide early warning system is Indonesian contribution in sharing knowledge and experience to the world to save society from the threat of landslide. The governments of Indonesia and Australia signed a Maritime Action Plan agreement on Friday in Sydney, Australia. The signing was witnessed by Minister of Foreign Affairs Dato' Mahsudi and her counterpart Minister Yulia Bishop. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 95.5 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, sir. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit West Lombok to witness the beauty of Timpunan Waterfall. Stay tuned. West Lombok Regency is the most important regency in West Nusa Tenggara because the regency is the central government of West Nusa Tenggara. Besides having beautiful beaches, West Lombok is also well known for amazing waterfalls. One of them is Timpunan. Listener, Timpunan Waterfall is located in Prabat Hamlet, Batu Mekar Village, Linggar District, West Lombok Regency, West Nusa Tenggara Province. The waterfall is at Sisod Forest. Because of its location at Prabat Hamlet, the Timpunan Waterfall is often called Prabat Waterfall. The waterfall is 35 meters high, Although its water discharge is not quite big, it offers the beauty which makes visitors adore of it. Under the water wall, there is pool with 10 diameters which can be used for swimming. Listener to access the waterfall. Firstly, you must go to Batu Mekar Lengser Village by bus around 1 hour from Mataram City. The location can be accessed by using car or motorcycle. Thus, if you choose to walk or go trekking from parking area, you can continue the trip by passing path around 5 kilometers and it takes 1.5 hours until 2 hours. If you do not want to walk, we suggest you to drive motorcycle, but you have to be careful because its terrain is quite difficult. Sometimes you must pass up and down street and river, but your tiredness will disappear after arriving at Timpunan Waterfall. If you want to enjoy night at surrounding waterfall area, you can set a tent at the camping ground. To enter the tourism object, you must pay 2,000 rupiah per person, while for parking fee is 2,000 rupiah. Well, sir, that was our segment in Nation Wonder for today, featuring Timpunan Waterfall. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener now, let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a special segment which presenting various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, technology and environment, and also lifestyle. Today's topic is Nyepi and Saraswati celebration fall on the same day. In 2018, Hindu people in Indonesia are experiencing a special phenomenon. The celebration of Nyepi and Saraswati days fall on the same day, that is Saturday, March the 17th, 2018 today. Why it is special phenomenon? Because the implementation of the two festivals of Hindus Indonesia is very contradictory. Nyepi Day is one of the Hindu festivals celebrated on the first day of the lunar calendar and can also be called the Hindu New Year. The celebration is unique. Usually religious holidays or the New Year is celebrated with great fanfare. But Nyepi is the opposite. On the day, all Hindus celebrating must obey the four brata or penyepian or being quiet, namely Amati Geni, that is not using or lighting the fire, Amati Karya, no working, Amati Lelungan, no traveling, and Amati Lelanguan or no entertainment. So the atmosphere is really sepi or quiet. On New Year's Eve or Nyepi in Bali, Buta Yajna ritual is performed by every community in Bali. This ritual eliminates the negativity and evil of the island and its inhabitants. According to Hindu beliefs, it is the human responsibility to maintain a balance between gods, earth, and humans. For this ritual, the Balinese create a large demonic sculpture and other evil creatures from bamboo and paper. These statues are known as ogoh-ogoh. It is believed that ogoh-ogoh will absorb negative energy from the audience and drive out evil spirits. After the parade, ogoh-ogoh is burned in a large campfire. While the celebration of Saraswati Day is held with a festive start of the morning until midday, which is a time to pay tribute to Devi Saraswati or the goddess Saraswati as the ruler of science. In the evening, Hindus held a literary night to discuss the teachings of Hinduism that are useful in daily life. After carrying out literature evening, the next day, Redita Pahing Sinta Hindus will perform Banyu Pinaruh. Banyu Pinaruh comes from the word Banyu, which means water, and Pangawaruh, which means knowledge. By carrying out Banyu Pinaruh, human beings are expected to be aware of their true nature. Differences in celebrating the two Hindu festivals are a rare phenomenon for Hindus in Indonesia. So how the two celebrations of the feast can be implemented together? Based on the decision of Parisanda Hindu Dharma Indonesia, the second execution of the Holy Nyepi Day will observe all the amati, namely amati geni, amati karya, amati lelungan, and amati lelungan. Meanwhile, the holiday ceremony of Saraswati will still be held with ceremony of element of work, element of geni, of oro or fire, and then of war and element of lelangwan or entertainment. Therefore, the celebration of Saraswati and Upakaranya must be finished at 6 p.m. local time on Saturday, March the 17th. The implementation of Brata Cerep Penyepian started on March the 17th at 6 o'clock local time until March the 18th, the following day, also at 6 o'clock. Well, that was Miss Leni over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on celebrating Nyepi and Saraswati on the same day. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Leni on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, son of Radio Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Malik and The Essentials. To initiate our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Himalaya. Enjoy the song!
Coba hayalkan sejenak 10 tahun nanti. Hidupmu coba bayangkan sejenak. Misalkan ada aku yang menemani hari demi hari yang tak terhitung. Misalkan itu aku yang terakhir untukmu. Untuk itu kan ku persembahkan Himalaya. Bahkan akan aku taklukkan tanpa cahaya di kegelapan, berbalutkan pelita hatimu. Di aku, di aku. bersama tujuh warna pelangi. Misalkan semua terjadi, meski belum terjadi, sekarang kita renungkan sejenak cara agar semua bisa terjadi. Walau ku tahu tak semudah itu, tapi coba sekali lagi. Bayangkan aku, untuk itu kan ku persembahkan Himalaya. Bahkan akan aku taklukkan tanpa cahaya di kegelapan, berbalutkan pelita hatimu. Di aku dan kamu, pastikan kau melihat aku saat ku gapai puncak tertinggi bersama tujuh warna pelangi.
Listener, you have just listened to the first song entitled Himalaya, sung by Malik and The Essentials, a group music which was established on May 15, 2002. With 9 personnel, Malik and The Essentials began their career in music at cafe or hotel. The name of Malik itself is actually an abbreviation of music and live instrument quality. Meanwhile, The Essential means an important unity which cannot be separated. Many people perceive that Malik and The Essentials play in jazz genre, but actually the group band plays a lot of genre such as soul, funk, rock, blues, and many others. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Ananda. Enjoy the song.
Sambut kebahagiaan lahir sang buah hati, wujud cinta manusia bersujud dalam pujian, hingga suatu hari dia akan berjalan ke dunia dengan pilihannya. Selamat datang sayang. Ananda, dewasalah dengan cara yang kau percaya sempurna. Hanya di surga peluk aku saat kau ragu, selama ku masih di dunia bernafas bersama. Selamat datang sayang di kehidupan yang berjalan, yang tak pernah berubahnya. Perubahan yang mendatangkan perlahan, membiasakan kita dan mendewasakan. Oh, yeah.
Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about Malik and the Essentials. Malik and the Essentials have released many albums and singles, either they produced by themselves on compilation with other musicians. And almost all their songs receive positive appreciation from Indonesian music lovers. Although Malik and the Essentials have only 6 personnel, the group music is still able to create music which can be enjoyed in ear, heart, and mind. Listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the following 2 songs entitled Senandung Senandika and Senang. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Siapa yang benar salah, siapa yang RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you. getarkan jiwa.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.